And I'm on vacation, as you can tell. I'm not in presence with you, but something happened this week that I just couldn't escape. And Pastor Dennis was scheduled to preach this morning, and Bill was scheduled to preach in our next service, but something happened. I was in my studies, and all of a sudden I got this feeling. God gave me a message, and I didn't understand it. I called our camera guy, I called Pastor Dennis, and I said, God gave me a message for Sunday, and I'm not even going to be there. And so I just asked Pastor Dennis, what are you preaching on? And normally we don't have these conversations. We don't talk about what we're preaching on. But he said, you know, God's really been drawing me to your roots. And I was like, that's crazy. And he's like, his opening statement is about roots. And my last statement that God gave me was about roots. And I said, so God has yoked us together for a sermon. And the only way I know to do this, and under our media guy's direction, was to come to you and just tag team together. So church, we're going to be a little bit uncomfortable today, and we're going to be a little bit vulnerable. We're going to preach to you from a screen, but we're going to preach to you mainly from the power of God. And so today, join with us as we come together to see what God has for us, as we establish our roots and we see the necessities of why we need roots. So I'm going to let Pastor Dennis just kind of open up and share on what God had laid on his heart for you today. And then we're just going to build. We're going to go. I'm in Numbers. He's in Samuel. We're just going to see what God does. This is a unique moment that is divinely orchestrated. I can tell you right now, neither one of us are comfortable standing here staring at a camera. We'd much rather be looking at you. But if God tells us to do something and God draws us to it, we're not going to forsake it and we're not going to abandon it. We're not here to be traditional and we're not here to stay to our routines. We're here to follow the Holy Spirit. So here we are, coming to you with the Word of God. I pray that it richly blesses your life, and I pray that your hearts and your minds are open to receive what God has for you today.
Amen. The last month or so, I've been in the book of 2 Samuel. And the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to look at the story of David and Bathsheba. I think a lot of us as Christians, obviously we deal with sin because Adam and Eve, sin came from Adam and Eve in the garden. So a lot of us deal with a struggle of sin, and we try to find things in our lives to try to overpower sin. But ultimately, there's only one thing that has conquered sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we look at the story of David and Bathsheba, as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're going to kind of hit and talk about how, when our thoughts and our actions are rooted in Jesus Christ, when we're aligned to the gospel, when we're aligned to the way that Jesus calls us to live, our minds are fresh, our minds stay focused on Christ, our minds stay focused on the cross, and we don't want to do the sinful attitudes that the world calls us to. And so, well, today's message is going to be about, getting rid of the sin in our lives and proclaiming the name of Jesus so the fruits of the Spirit can be seen in our actions. They can be seen in our words. And so, you know, my prayer is for Grace Community Church, for each and every one of us as Christians, not to simply be here in Grace Community Church inside the walls of the church to show and the love of Jesus Christ, but we should be showing Jesus Christ outside of the walls of the church. We should be going into the workplaces. We should be going into the grocery store. We should be going into Walmart and sharing the love of God. And that's only possible when we as ourselves are living as Christ called us to
Amen.
Live.
Amen. You know, here in the past few weeks, we've seen this great movement of the Spirit calling us to repentance. I don't think you can deny it. If you're visiting with us today, let me just kind of give you a preview of what's happened in the last 3 weeks. God has really called us to a spirit of unity, not with each other. Yes, now that's a given, but that spirit of unity with each other doesn't come until we have a spirit of unity with Christ. And that spirit of unity doesn't come through our worship. It comes through our obedience. We find that in Proverbs 21, verse number 3, where it says, hey, God would rather you be obedient than to give sacrifices. And so in this, I want you to understand today that for the past 3 weeks, we've heard God calling us to holiness, and I've seen many respond, even myself. God's convicted me so many times, and thank God He has delivered us. Like Dennis said, we have been delivered from sin through Jesus Christ. We've been delivered and called to power, but we're not going to have that power if we're not rooted, and we're not going to have that power if we're not rooted in Christ. And so today, you know, that verse comes to mind where it says, let your roots grow down in Him. Let's get deep into who God is. And so, Grace Community Church, child of God, God, church of the kingdom. Hey, not just this little battalion that's meeting here today in Newmarket, Tennessee, but the kingdom church all over the world. Let's rise and realize that God has called us to accomplish great things. But with those great accomplishments and with those great battles that need to be fought, there's going to be great challenges and there's going to be great temptations. There's going to be things that we have to face and things that we have to conquer, but they can only be done in Jesus' name. And so if we're going to do it in Jesus' name, then we've got to do it through Jesus' veins. We've got to be rooted in Christ so that the power of the Holy Spirit can flow through our lives and minister into our hearts. Our fruits are directly derivative. They come from our roots. So roots produce our fruits. And our fruits are what produce the power of God. It shows the proof of God to the world around us. See, the world doesn't believe in God because the church has no fruits of God. And I'm not talking just the shallow, we come in, sing a few songs and worship. We're talking about the miracles. We're talking about the power. We're talking about the authority of Jesus Christ. We're talking about chains that are broken, strongholds that are already destroyed. See, we have too many chains and too many strongholds still alive in the church. And Christ died to break those down. And he raised us up to a new life, a new mindset. Matter of fact, we get told so many times in the Bible that God wants to transform us, that God has made us his masterpiece. And we're done and we're transformed and we're created to be that through our mindsets. He changes the way we think. And so today, how do we get our minds rooted in Christ? How do we get our heart rooted in Christ? And what's the purpose of that? So first, I'm going to tell you about the challenges. Dennis is going to come in just a second and tell you about the temptations that you're going to have to face and how to conquer those. But I'm going to take a text, if you would. And like many of you know, I've been stuck in Numbers for a while. The Holy Spirit is just literally wearing me out. Not in a bringing me down to a tired and exhausted state. Wearing me out as in, hey, Josh, there is so much more that God has for you. And there's so much more truth. And so, man, my spirit has been set on fire. And that's one of the reasons why we're shooting this video. It's one of the reasons why, while I'm not there, we're still preaching to you. Because what God is doing in my life and doing in your life, there's a revival starting here at Grace Community Church. And the kingdom is being called. And the kingdom is being chosen. And people of God are being raised. And we're believing, church, that God is going to do something in Jefferson County, in our nation, through what he's doing right here in our hearts and in your lives. And for those of you tuning in and watching this online, hey, we consider you a part of our church. Not our church, Grace Community, but a church that Jesus Christ died for. The church that Jesus Christ raised up. We are a kingdom. It is not about our name. It's about his name. And so that's what we're here to proclaim. So let me take you, if you would, to Numbers chapter number 16, where we're going to talk about a story of three guys, right? Actually five, but three that really make this story pop in the Bible. Their names are Korah, Dathan, and Abram. All right. Now these guys rebelled. Now, surprise, children of Israel, they've seen the power of God, right? Now they're under the curse of God because they've denied the promised land. You think they learned their lesson. They just got that curse handed down that they're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness till everybody over the age of 20 dies. And guess what they do? They repent and get right with God? Absolutely not. They keep up their old ways. So these three guys, the Bible says, go and they get 250 of the elders, leaders of Israel. And they come to Moses and they say this. I'm going to pick up in verse number 3. So they came together against Moses and Aaron and they told them, "You have gone too far. Everyone in the entire community is holy and the Lord is among them." Let me stop right there. Not everybody in the kingdom is holy. And not everybody that says that they believe in God actually believes in God. In this stance, you see people who think they're religious. People who are jealous of what God is doing in their life. Matter of fact, their next sentence proves that. "Why then do you exalt yourselves above the Lord's assembly," they say. In other words, hey, everybody's good. Well, if everybody was good, they would be in the promised land. If everybody was who they were supposed to be, they wouldn't be wandering in the wilderness. The fact that they were in the wilderness proves that everybody wasn't who they were supposed to be. And so what they were doing is they were spreading confusion. Now, the Bible tells us this in Ephesians chapter number 4, that we need to grow to be mature in Christ so that we won't be scattered or blown by every wind of doctrine, tricked with lies so clever they sound like the truth. An unrooted Christian will be tossed back and forth. They don't know what to believe. And if you don't know what to believe, you don't know what to stand on. And if you don't have something to stand on, you don't have something to stand for. And that's why we have a weak generation of Christians. And God is calling us to power. God is calling us to kingdom purpose. He didn't call us to be weak. Jesus didn't die for us so that we would live as if we're dead. He died for us so that we could come alive. He came that we could have an abundant life, John 10:10 tells us. And so as we see here, they go in and they start confusing everybody. They start putting these thoughts in everybody's head saying, oh, you're a good guy. You're okay. Yay, man, you're okay just the way you are. Moses and Aaron have lost it. They're too fanatical. All right, now listen, understand this. At some point in life, you're going to have to be rooted so you can tell the difference between a wolf and a sheep. So that you can tell the difference between somebody who's an actual believer and somebody who is a pretender. A contender and a pretender are two separate different things. And we don't need pretenders of Christ. We need contenders in Christ. We don't need people who are just going through the motions. We need people who are creating the motion, the movement of God. We don't need people who are just, oh, they're good on Sunday. No, we need people who are good on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We don't need just a little bit of Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus. We don't need a part-time relationship. We need a full-time relationship. We need a kingdom that's on the move at all times. So these guys go out and they deceive. They get 250 guys and totally blow their minds and change their thought process of who God is. So God and Moses have a conversation. The Bible says here, if you keep reading, I'm going to paraphrase for you, that Moses fell down on his face. In other words, hey, listen, when Moses faced adversity, he knew what he needed to do. He needed to get on his face before God. Let me tell you this now. We say it so many times around here. Before you face your giant, you better face your giant killer. You better face your God. Before you face your problem, you better face His promises. Before you face your anxiety, you better face the healer. Before you face the demons of the world, you better face the one that conquered them, beat them, and defeated them. You better face God before you face anything this world is throwing at you. So Moses said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this little offering. In other words, I'm calling you to worship. All right? So I want you to go get your frying pan. All right, I want you to go get your offering. I want you to go get your incense. I want you to go get your fire. And we're going to go to the tent of testimony. We're going to go to the tent of meeting. In other words, we're going to go to the place where God is, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And we're going to stand before God, and God is going to show us who is for Him or against Him. He's going to show us who is right with Him. Can I tell you this? It is not your worship that proves whether or not you're right with God. It's your relationship. It's where your roots are. See, somebody can pretend and fake through worship, but you can't pretend and fake through obedience. You can't pretend and fake through power. You either got it or you don't. You either have the anointing of God on your life or you're walking away from it. You're either walking in the calling or you're walking outside of it. No one serves two masters, okay? No, double-minded people are unstable in everything. You can't pretend long enough to convince the world. No, eventually time will tell the truth. And so Moses said, let's figure out the truth. Let's figure out who's for God and who's not, and God will reveal it. So they come together and they stand before Him. And so Moses goes and he calls for two guys. He calls Dathan and Abiram. He says, y'all come out. Come here. Come talk to me. And verse number 12 through verse number 14, they say, we will not come. So I found this to be true. There are people that pretend to be of God, and then there are people that refuse to answer the calling of God. Both of those people are equally as dangerous. You know, the Bible says to avoid and stay away from idle believers. Why? They're contagious. They're crippling. Matter of fact, I'm going to pause for just a moment. We're going to actually talk about three of the things of temptation that you need to look at. I'm going to let Pastor Dennis tell that to you because one of them is talking about how temptation corrupts people. All right? So Dennis, if you would, share with them a little bit.
Sure. As it says in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Mm. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You see, when we give in to temptation, we give in to sin. And you might be sitting there today, and you might be saying to yourself, you know, there's no way that I can overcome the obstacle that I'm facing in my life. There's no way that I can overcome what I'm facing today. Well, I'm here to tell you today that there is a hope. And I'm here today to tell you that there is a way to conquer that temptation, because Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, as it tells us in the New Testament. And He didn't give in to the New Testament. You see, Jesus Christ remained focused on His mission, which was to proclaim proclaim the word of God and to proclaim what was going to transpire and to proclaim that he was going to go up on that cross one day and that he was going to be resurrected from the dead. You see, Jesus knew what the plan was for his life. And you see, today, you need to know what God's plan is in your life, because as we look at how to avoid falling into a life of sin, there's three different things that you need to know about sin and how to avoid falling into the life of number one. You've got to be able to know your purpose. You got to be able to follow and pursue your calling from God. Now, Josh, that doesn't mean that everybody's called to do the same thing. Yes, as to in the kingdom of God, we are all called to something, and that is to grow the kingdom of God. So, but not every one of us is going to do the same thing. A church requires, you know, people to be in different positions in order to make the church work. But it goes beyond the walls of the church, because God calls us to be obedient, not just inside the walls here, but outside in the world. And as you look at David, as you look at the story of David and Bathsheba, you see a man. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what his calling was. But as he was tempted, you know, he was in 2 Samuel chapter 11, in the first few verses, you will see that he is not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be in battle leading the army. But he stayed behind. And as he saw this female out on the rooftop, Bathsheba, he gave in to the temptation. And I'm just going to paraphrase what it says for the rest of the chapter. But he called for this woman to be brought to his home. And as she came to his home, he slept with her, and she became pregnant.
Yeah.
And her husband was fighting off in war, Uriah. And so once David realized that there was going to be no way to hide the fact that he had slept with Bathsheba, and that Bathsheba was now pregnant with his son, he ended up ultimately killing Uriah the Hittite. Well, you see, David was struggling with his purpose. David was struggling with his calling in life. When we get off course in our lives, when we turn our backs on what God is calling us to do, that's when we mess up.
Yeah.
That's when we give in to temptation. That's when we begin to sin. And so, as a Christian, every person that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have that calling. And you know what that calling is, because God puts that calling on your heart, and He will not allow you to walk away from that calling.
Amen.
And I know when God has called me to do things in my life, He's put it on my life so heavy that I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
And every time I try to turn away from that calling, it's like God shakes me.
Yeah.
And God wakes me up.
Yeah.
He wants me to pursue His path. He doesn't want me to get off course. So we have got to be able to know our purpose, and we've got to be able to pursue that calling that God is calling us to.
So in this story, I want you to understand, here in Numbers, Moses actually calls these two guys out, trying to get them away from Korah, because he wants to spare them. He wants to separate them from what Korah is trying to do. He knows the wrath of God is about to come. And so he calls these guys, just like God calls you. See, God has called you to come out from the world and to be separate. And you've got to be rooted in your purpose if you're going to survive the temptations to avoid the calling. You've got to be rooted in your purpose if you're going to avoid these misconceptions about what God's wanting to do in your life. These guys, can I give you the excuse that they gave? They start crying out in verse 13, "Isn't it enough that you brought us up from the land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Do you also have to appoint yourself as ruler over us?" In other words, hey God, I'm not giving you this authority. Like, I've heard people say this, that, well, I don't want somebody telling me how to live my life. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. You know what that is? That's a life outside of purpose. That's a life not rooted in Christ. Because you'll find, like Dennis said, that purpose in your life, man, it's consuming. God calls you to it, and it is fulfilling, and it is satisfying. But these people, these men, they look at Moses, and they said, no, I mean, we're not going to let you rule over us. And then look at what they say. Well, not only do we not want somebody ruling over our lives, it says, furthermore, verse 14, you didn't bring us to the land flowing with milk and honey, or give us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? We will not come. In other words, there's also the believers that they're not rooted in a purpose, so they actually become very selfish. They become very self-centered. And, well, God, you didn't give me my way. And because I didn't get my way, there's no way that I'm going to serve you. Now, listen to me. Church, listen. These men meet a very tragic end. To live outside of your purpose is to live in destruction. It's to live in a place of very, very dangerous territory. It's a place where God's wrath is. It's a place where there's a lot of evil. It's a place where sin runs rampant. It's a place where you become the victim of Satan's attack. See, we need roots so that we can avoid the temptation of abandoning God's calling. We need roots so that we can be rooted in the purpose of which He's called us to. All right? And what's the second thing?
The second thing that we have to do is we have to remove self and our own selfish desires. Serving God is not about what we want. Serving God is about fulfilling that God is putting on our lives and doing those things that God wants us to do. You know, I think that's something that the church struggles with today. You can look at it in the Old Testament and you can see with the children of Israel over and over and over again how they failed. Yeah. How God would do something miraculous and they would just fall on their knees. Yeah. And then all of a sudden when they got back up, they failed again. We have a pattern of the same thing today.
Amen.
And it's because we get caught up in ourselves.
Yeah.
It's because we get caught up with what we want to do, with what we desire. And that's where the church is making the mistake today. You see so many churches out there today that are making that mistake, and they're making services revolve around the way they want things to happen.
Yeah, amen.
Instead of around the way that God calls things to happen. You know, I'm so amazed that the last couple of weeks that we've walked into the services here at Grace Community Church, you have seen just an overwhelming spirit. And that's not the spirit of us. That is the Holy Spirit that God's Word tells us about. And it's here because the people that make up the church, that are coming into the doors of the church, are allowing the Spirit of God to move. They're allowing God to take control of their hearts. And they're allowing God to control the service.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's about removing yourself completely and doing what God wants you to do. As a pastor, I don't stand here and do the things that God's called me to do for my own glory. I don't do it for my own self purposes. I do it because I enjoy helping people, and that's what God has called me to do. He's called me to help people. God needs us. He needs people to help other people. And for the last many years, you've seen a lot of churches that have put people on the sidewalks because they don't want people that need help inside their doors. And that's being selfish.
It is.
The church needs to awaken, and we need to have that revival that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, because when the church comes alive,
yeah,
Jesus comes alive, and we will see great things transpire.
Yet not only does Jesus come alive, He comes alive in us, and as He comes alive in us, we come alive, and people around us come alive, and that's what we're looking at today, is like, look, listen, they're saying, hey, I didn't get in my way, so it's not going to work for me. Now listen, being selfless doesn't mean that you think of yourself as less valuable. It just means you think of yourself less. All right, you're not always thinking about you. You're looking around this auditorium today, and you're figuring out who is it that needs some encouragement, who is it that needs a boost. And when I am rooted in my purpose, and I am rooted in my calling, I am rooted in the passion for other people. I want to be there for other people. Matter of fact, we see Moses do that. His first response to these two guys, the Bible says he got angry, and then he goes to God and he says, God, don't accept their offering. You know, if people are going to be selfish, then don't honor it. And let me say this. If you're living a life of selfishness, know that self is an idol. And any idol that we build in our life is in opposition to what God wants to accomplish. And I'll say this. In the name of Jesus Christ, all idols end up falling. And if you don't want your life to fall apart, and you don't want your life to end in destruction and in misery, then don't set yourself up as an idol. Let God rule and reign in your life. So Moses goes to God and says, don't honor their sacrifice. And then look what God says to him. So the Lord spoke to Moses in verse number 20 and Aaron, and he says, separate yourselves from this community so I may consume them instantly. In other words, hey, the selfish, they ended in destruction. Hey, it's not going to work out. And so he says, get away from them. And look at what Moses and Aaron do. They separate. No, they don't. They actually fall on their face before God. The Bible says that they fell face down, verse 22, and said, God, God, who gives breath to all, when one man sins, will you vent your wrath on the whole community? Then the Lord replied to Moses and said, well, then tell the community to get away from the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. In other words, he says this, okay, all right, I won't destroy them all, but you better tell them to get away from the selfish ones. You better tell them to get away from the ones that are consumed with themselves. Why? Because the third thing you need to realize about avoiding temptation is that, hey, the sin corrupts people. That's what Pastor Dennis is going to talk about next.
Yes, we have to remove temptation by turning away from the acts of sin. Here in the story of David and Bathsheba, David didn't turn away from the act of sin. He gave in to the act of sin. And as we know, as we'll share a little later, we will talk about how some of the consequences that came apart as a result of this sin. But overcoming temptation begins with what we talked about at the beginning, which is putting your roots in Jesus Christ. If you're wanting to remove yourself from a temptation, for instance, if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to remove yourself from alcohol, you're trying to remove that weakness from your life, you got to remove that temptation by not buying alcohol, putting it in your refrigerator, not going out to the bars, not doing those types of things, because when you do purchase the alcohol and you put it in your refrigerator, well, when you go out to the bars, you're more tempted to act upon that sinful act. And so in order to avoid sin in our lives, we have to turn away from those acts of sin.
We got to get away from the people that influence us. We got to get away from the things that influence us. We call these in the recovery world triggers. Things that trigger our weaknesses. You got to get them out of your life, and you got to keep far from them. Why? Because it'll bring you down. Sin is not designed for you to enjoy. Matter of fact, I told somebody just the other week, sin is fun, because if it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. But then after the season of fun, it's not a lifestyle of fun. It's a season of fun. And after that short time of fun, destruction, it just creeps up at you and it grabs you. So here's what happens. So all the people separate from these three communities. And the Bible says that Moses prayed and he said, hey, God, prove yourself. If these men die a natural death, then may it be said that I am not a man of God. But if it not be so, if it's not that way, if I am a man of God, then do something miraculous and open the ground to Sheol so that they can be swallowed by it. And the Bible said as soon as he was done, immediately the ground opened. And those three tribes, those three communities fell straight down to Sheol, which is hell. And the ground closed among them. And then all the people of Israel fled in fear. They ran away. And you would think that at that point they got right with God. And you would think that after seeing God open up the ground, swallow communities that were standing against him, that they would get right, but they didn't. Matter of fact, the people showed up in verse number 41 the next day. The entire Israelite community, here it is, we talked about this last week, complained. I mean, complaint is what got them trapped in the wilderness. That lifestyle, that iniquity of just repetitive mindset. Let me just pause for a moment. I feel the Spirit telling me to say this to somebody. For those of you that have the constant same mindsets of negativity swirling in your mind, don't ever think you're going to get better if you continue to accept those thoughts and not take them captive and bring them to the obedience of Christ. At some point, you've got to forsake that mindset. At some point, you've got to get away. We talked about it last week. If you weren't here, please go back and listen. You've got to change from complaint to praise. You've got to have a shift in mind. And so they came back and they complained about Moses and Aaron. And here's what they said about Moses and Aaron. They said, you killed God's people. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, these are the people that God opened the ground and swallowed and immediately sent them down. And here's what the Israelite community thinks. You killed God's people. Hey, it's time for the church to stop blaming the godly for the things that are going wrong in the church, and for us to realize that it's the mindsets of the church, the attitudes that we've taken in about God, that we've rejected about the Holy Spirit. It's the same mindsets that our grandfathers had, their fathers had, and generations had. have headed down where we have limited the power of God. At some point, there needs to be a generation that raises up and says, I will not keep the same mindsets of the generation of the church before me. I will not keep the mindset of the generation of the church around me. I will let God out of his box, tear down the walls. I will remove the lid of God's power, and I will say, God, be God and do what you want to do. At some point, we got to wake up and realize that the things that the world has done through the church is not working. And so we've got to start tapping into the power of God that does work. The things of God that are true. So yes, there are consequences. Now, I would love to come to you and say, hey, there's no consequences for sin, but that's not true. Good news is that through Jesus Christ, there's no judgment for sin. That Jesus Christ took our punishment and our shame. Thank God for that. Let's stop and have a little moment of praise over that. But understand this, that every choice we make has a consequence. The Bible says that the tongue has both life and death-giving powers, and those who like to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, whatever you sow, you will reap. And so understand that sin, if not dealt with, does have its consequences. I'm praying today that you don't come under this mindset of destruction. That you don't fall under this. Because you know what the Lord's response to this was? Second time in the same chapter that God shows up and wants to destroy Israel. And you know what happens? Moses and Aaron, you would think by this time that they're over it, right? Every time God moves, every time God does something, the children of Israel complain instead of worship. And you would think that they'd be over it, but you know what they did? They fell on their faces again before God. God had showed up and said, remove yourself from them so I can consume them instantly. Second time. And Moses and Aaron said, no. God help us that we raise a generation of the church that so cares about people that we will stand in the gap on their behalf, lifting up our prayers, lifting up our focus, that God would cure them, that God would spare them from the consequences of sin. But those of you that are living in that, those of you that don't have roots, those of you that are rooted more in sin than in Christ, there are some consequences that you may have to face. And the story of David kind of gives us those. So let's very quickly look at some of these consequences before we look at what God is willing to do on your behalf. All right? Pastor Dennis.
Number one, the more a person sins, the more that sin feels acceptable in a person's life. You see, the more that a person sins over and over in their life, if somebody consumes alcohol over and over and over in their life to excess, if they misuse drugs over and over and over in life, it becomes a pattern in their life. It becomes a pattern that becomes acceptable in their eyes. They look at that and they think, okay, well, God's okay with this. But you know what? God's word tells us it's not okay. God's word tells us that he doesn't want us to live like that. God's word tells us that he wants us to live in a way of peace. He wants us to live in a hope. He wants us to live in a way to realize that all of those things, all of sin has already been conquered through death, hell, and the grave. He doesn't want us to focus on those attitudes of sin. He wants us to turn away from those things. And you see, in the story of David and Bathsheba, David had a pattern of sin. Ultimately, he committed that adultery with Bathsheba. And after having that affair with Bathsheba, what did he do? He committed another sin by creating murder.
Yeah.
And there became a pattern. And David was better than that, because if you look in 1 Samuel, when you look at David and Goliath, what was he doing? His fear, his hope was so amazing. There he was fighting Goliath and this humongous giant that so many people were scared of. But he went into the battle and he didn't even want weapons to fight with.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, let's call that out on you. You're better than this. You're better than this. I mean, think about your life, and let's take a moment and reflect. Look at the victories that you've conquered in Jesus' name. Church, listen to me. Look at the things that God's done through you, not things God's done around you. I'm a believer that if you're a child of God, that at some point God has shown up in your life, and at some point you had a focus, and in that focus, God used you in a mighty way. Hey, you may have slayed a giant yesterday, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be conquered by one today if you're not rooted. And so today, listen, sin does bring that consequence. See, in the children of Israel, in the story in chapter 16, a plague broke out. And this plague started destroying Israel. People started dying. Matter of fact, can I just say this? 14,700 people died in one day
on top of the 250 that died of the elders, the Bible says that fire came down and consumed them. All right. Hey, listen, on top of the communities of Korah and Danath and all these other guys, the Bible says that there were many people that died. But I like this, and I'm going to say this, and we'll bring it to a close here pretty quick. All right. But I'll say this. Look, in verse number 48 of chapter 16, Moses goes and tells Aaron, he says, take your fire pan, go to the altar of God and get the fire. It changes. Instead of taking your own power, that's what he had told everybody. Hey, everybody bring a firing pan, put some fire in it, and bring your incense. But when he tells Aaron to go stand and make atonement, and to stand in the gap, and to stand on behalf of those around him, the Bible says that he told Aaron to go to the altar of incense, to grab fire off the altar of God. Hey, at some point, the church needs to tap into the power of God. And then he says, and add your incense. Incense in the Bible represents the prayers of the saints. We see that in Revelations. We see that in Psalm. The prayers of the saints, that's what's powerful. And God values those prayers. And the altar of incense was representative of us making our prayers to God, a sweet smelling savor to him. And so Moses looks at Aaron and he says, Aaron, go grab the fire of God. Go grab your prayer. Get the prayer of belief and put them together and stand in the gap. And so look at what happens. Verse number 47. So Aaron took his fire pan as Moses had ordered, ran into the middle of the assembly and saw that the plague had begun among the people. After he added his incense, he made atonement for the people. God help us. This is the verse we want to be the anthem of Grace Community Church. This is the verse that I pray is the anthem of my life. This is the verse that I pray is the anthem of yours. In verse 48, it says, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was halted. Now listen, a plague can be caught. A plague can destroy the life. But Aaron did not care about his own life. He did not care about the dangers of standing in that gap. He didn't care about what would happen to him. He took and he stood, I like it, in between the dead and the living. And the Bible says the plague halted. God, raise up a church that is willing to stand in between you and those that are still in your plan, and those that still have hope, and stand against the sin, the plague of sin that is wreaking havoc and wrecking people's lives and the destruction that's being created by it. May some of us, may some of you today rise up to be the kingdom of God, standing firm on the promises of God, taking his power and taking your beliefs, your prayers, a belief and saying, hey, in Jesus' name, we will no longer allow these sins to destroy our homes. In Jesus' name, we will not accept drugs. We will not accept brokenness. We will not accept the depression. We will not accept these mindsets of misery that Satan's bringing on us. But in Jesus' name, we will stand between the dead and the living. And in Jesus' name, Satan be halted. Satan be moved. Sin, you have no power here. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I know we have much more, but I'm going to just pause for a moment and tell a little story. Is that okay? All right. Wednesday night, we were at church, and I'm praying that this lady is with you today, and I'm also praying that if she is there, that you will love on her today. But we met a lady by the name of Kim. Kim said that the other day, just a couple days ago, she was driving down the interstate or the road, I don't remember which one it was, pulled over to the spot to which her husband had been killed in a car wreck 2 weeks prior. My heart immediately broke as Kim was sharing this story. And Kim, if you are there, know that you have been in my prayers. Know that your name has been on my lips and in my heart. And I've cried out to God on your behalf. And Kim, I want you to know right now, God loves you and has not forsaken you. But Kim said that as she was on the side of the road, two people pulled over. They stood with her and saw her crying. And they started to pray with her. She said those two people went to Grace Community Church and they told her that she needed to come out and visit. Kim came into our service this past Wednesday and we prayed over her. Our church rallied around her. She came up to me after the service. We immediately stopped. Everybody was leaving. About 100 people gathered around Kim, I'd say, and just started laying hands on her and praying and loving on her. And after they did that, I went to her and I said, here's my cell phone number. Pastor Dennis gave his cell phone number. And she immediately wept and screamed out in her weeping, I have never had a church do anything like this for me.
You know what? That's what God calls the church to be.
Yeah.
God calls the church. He calls us as the children to rally around those that are struggling. He calls us to take care of the widows. He calls us to take care of the orphans. And today, it's the day that He's calling the church to do that. And the church needs to get up.
Amen.
And the church needs to stand up. And the church needs to pursue those opportunities. And I'm tired of in the past being involved in churches that are unwilling to go out on the line and are unwilling to go out and to do what God has proclaimed us to do.
Yeah.
And to be a part, to see the sadness in that woman's eyes, to see the depression in that woman's eyes, to see the hurt. It should make us hurt.
Amen.
If you had the heart of God, you would be hurting with her. And as you hear her story, as she shares her story with you, you'll be hurting for her just like she's hurting today.
And you know what happens? A living proof of verse 48. Whoever those two people were saw a woman standing on the side of the road, one living in the place where one had died. They pulled over to the side of the road and they stood in between the living and the dead. And they embraced her and they brought her in. And then she came to this service and God was able to minister to her life. And you know what? I've been praying for her and lifting her up. Here's why. Because I don't want what Satan's going to try to do to her life to take root. I don't want to see bitterness and I don't want to see despair and I don't want to see depression. And so what would we do? I told her, I said, we do not have answers for you and we do not have the words to say that can heal your grief in this moment. But I'm going to tell you, I make this promise to any of you that are hurting, to any of you that are addicted, to any of you that are struggling, to any of your marriages that are falling apart. I will stand between what Satan's trying to do to you and you, and I will stand beside you. Pastor Dennis, this church will stand beside you. Grace Community Church, may we raise up to be people that will stand there and say, while we may not know what you need, we will resist the plague so that you will not be destroyed. We told her, we will mow your yard. We will help you around the house. Whatever you need, you let us know. Hey, listen, whoever you are sitting here today that's hurting, you're in a place of healing. You're in a place of believers. You're in a place of a generation that believes that an almighty God has his hand on you. An almighty God has a plan for you. An almighty God has a purpose for your life. And what we will do is we will stand against hell itself. What can prevail against the church? Nothing. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against the church of the living Jesus Christ. And so today we stand and we call you out, church. Get your roots deep so that your fruits can grow, so that those that are being affected by the plague can take a bite of life and be healed, be changed, be rescued in Jesus' name. May we be a generation like Moses and Aaron that three times will get on our knees on behalf of what's going on in our world. May we take back our nation as we stand up in Jesus' name, bringing our offering, saying, God, we believe in your power. We accept your spirit. We will walk in obedience. God, we believe in your word, so we will pray believing in what you can do. And so, God, here we stand, and we will not move. May what's going on in our world not get to the living. May it not affect those that are around us. So I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. I want to just take this moment. I know you're not physically in this place where we're shooting this video, but I do believe the Spirit of God is moving in here. And I believe if he's moving in my heart right now like he is, and Pastor Dennis, you should see our camera guys. They're like bobbleheads. They're back there just going at it and celebrating. I mean, I'm having a good time in Jesus Christ right now. And the Bible says if two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. There's four of us in this room just having church, all right? So I'm going to believe that God's moving in your heart. I know we're going against the grain here. I know that it's not orthodox for us to have preaching on a screen, but hey, if God calls us to it, we're gonna forsake ourselves so that we can be rooted in Christ. So I want you with your heads bowed, I want you with your eyes closed to examine yourself. Do you have deep roots? Do you have deep roots? Are you going to withstand the challenges that are faced when people come against you? Are you going to stand against the temptations that Satan's going to try to throw at you? Are you going to be a David standing in front of Goliath or a David standing on a rooftop? Who are you going to be today? And while you're thinking about that, I want your very next thought to go to this. Whatever your choice is, it is going to affect somebody else's life. If you're going to be the David looking at Bathsheba, somebody's going to die as a result. There's going to be a Uriah. There's going to be somebody that's taken out because you're not being who you're supposed to be. May that not be your story today. And we forsake that. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. We bind Satan in that mind of captivity and we cast it out of you. I'm going to call you out today. Church, how many of you today feel that God's calling you to be an Aaron, to be a Moses that says, hey God, I'm going to stand on behalf of people. God, I'm not going to stand on my rooftop when I should be at war. I'm going to stand in the battlefield facing Goliath with a sling of faith and a rock of truth. And I'm going to sling it and we're going to slay Satan. We're going to build people up in Jesus' name so that our roots can produce some fruits that produce a proof that you are a living God, a true God, an overcoming God. Today we stand as a nation, a kingdom of God, saying, hey, we are people of faith, believing in your word, and we will not be shaken, but instead we'll shake the enemy. Instead, we'll stop the plague. Instead, we'll see lives changed and people rescued. If that is you today, I want you to stand to your feet right there where you are. And I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. And I want you just to proclaim, God, here I am. I will be used for your kingdom. I will be faithful to your word. I will stand in your truth. God, I will not let the enemy discourage me. I will not let difficult people halt me. I will not give up just because someone's stubborn. God, in Jesus' name, use my life. Use this church, use this kingdom, use these people. God, here we are, a generation ready to be used. Send revival and may it burn within me. May the fire of God from the altar of heaven come straight down to my heart. May you hear my prayer of faith. May it be incense to your ears and may you raise me up to be someone of power so that today, in Jesus' name, a Uriah won't die, but a Goliath will. That's our prayer and that's our hope for you. And I appreciate you giving us this opportunity. And may God richly bless you. You know, I do know this one truth. For those of you that are visitors here, understand this. I can't escape these people. I'm miles away, hundreds of miles away. But I'm going to guarantee you this. By the time you see this video, that's where I'll be, 100 miles away. But they're with me. Their love consumes my life. The love of God that flows through them. And so today, if you're here and you're hurting, I want you to just kind of stick around after service. This is Pastor Dennis. You'll see his face. He'll be underneath that awning out front. There'll be others, like by the name of Bill Hart. Some of our elders, Howard and Doug and Joe. Joe's running the sound right up there in the balcony. Just look at him there. You can go talk to any of them. Pastor David will be there. Many others that are going to be willing to stop and talk with you. Pray over you. We are a church that believes in the power of God. So please do not leave here without that power of God in your life. If you do not know Jesus Christ, then I pray that right there you will just do this. Will you confess with your heart? Will you say, God, I know that I need you, that you died for my sins, you sent your son. And then with your mouth, will you just openly declare, Jesus is Lord. He is my Savior. God, I need your management in my life, so I give my heart to you. May you grow richly. If you made that choice today, please talk to someone. We love you dearly, and we will see you soon. May God bless you as you continue to grow His kingdom. Stand in power. Stand in truth. You're a warrior in Jesus' name.
In closing today, I want to share a story. I want to share an experience with you all. A couple of weeks ago, Tanya and I had the opportunity to go down to Charleston. And while we were in Charleston, we went and we visited a plantation. And as we drove into this plantation, there were massive oak trees on both sides of the driveway. And I'm talking probably 100 foot. And so as we pulled in, we just got into our parking place and we just stopped. And we just talked about how humongous those trees were. And as we were touring the plantation, the woman that was doing the tour, she told us that the roots of those trees were as deep as they were tall. And not only that, but those trees were planted back in the 1700s. And they have been through hurricane after hurricane, rainstorm after rainstorm, And she was telling us that oak trees have such a massive root system that as they grow underneath the ground, they intertwine and they grow together. And as one tree starts dying, the other tree starts pouring in its nutrients so that it lifts that other tree back up. And I was thinking about that, it got me excited, because you know what? When we put our roots in Jesus Christ, the same thing happens. When the church puts its root systems in Jesus Christ, the same things happen. Instead of churches ripping apart each other, they should be growing together. They should be supporting each other. And can you imagine the awakening that will happen one day when that does happen? When those roots of all the churches come together and they actually do support each other.
Amen.
Not only that, but can you imagine the fruit that will be produced? But the first step that has to be made is we have to grow together instead of growing apart. Where are your roots? As you go out into the world this week, the world will knock you down. But Jesus will pick you up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together and to worship you today. We thank you for the goodness, how good you are. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for, as dirty as we can be, loving us through it. We thank you for that hope that only you can provide us with. We thank you for that gift of salvation that you gave us through the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here in your midst this morning that has come into the doors and they're hurting, Father, I pray today would be the day that they are rescued. I pray today would be the day that they grab a hold of your roots and allow you to do what you need to do in their lives. And as they grab a hold of your hand, I just pray that they would be able to see and to feel your love and to see and to feel your peace and your strength. Father, help us to be the people that you have called us to be as we go out into the world this week. Help our lives to be lights shining brightly for your Son, Jesus Christ. I just pray that as people see us this week, as we're in our workplaces, as we're out and about in the various stores that we go to, wherever we might be, I pray that people would be able to look at our lives and say, man, I want a piece of that. I want a piece of Jesus. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you all.
On the nights when the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, when the fear in my heart digs a little bit deeper, and when my faith to stand gets a little bit weaker, where could I run to? Where could I go? Even when it feels like my world,
There's a song in my soul, and I feel it stirring in me. This I know for sure, that your love is like a flood, and your mercy never ending. I give my song to you. There's a joy in my soul, like a morning. This I know for sure, that your grace is enough, and your promise never breaking. I give my song to you. Roll up your days, every single breath I breathe, singing out, oh.